Well, I was just thinking about different trials and testings as it was brought in here this morning on the message of Carson. You know, sometimes we go through trials and we wonder, why in the world, Lord, am I going through this? And you're low ebb of life and you say to yourself, well, there's got to be something, and I'm looking to see what it is. And a stepfather of mine, which is a Baptist preacher for many years, which has gone on to be with the Lord now, says, the Lord is using you to be an example and a testimony to others through your trials. And that is for sure. You know, it's important to know that the Lord doesn't bring anything in our lives that he doesn't sift us through, as the devil seems to be bringing them on us, that he doesn't filter him through the hands of his holy will and power, you know.
Amen.
And I'm glad that the Lord is able to bring me through some trials and testings, and I know that you all have gone through some, but we know the Lord is there during the midst of the storm. And of course, there's many messages have been preached on the storms of life, and we go through them for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and ask God to bless the service here this afternoon. I guess you might as well call it this evening. This is kind of like a this evening message, but I mean time anyway. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're grateful for an opportunity to be able to come in your presence. We know each and every one of us are individuals. Each and every one of us are specially made for your service. And there's nothing that cannot be accomplished unless your grace is sufficient. And we know that your grace is always timing. And it's always prevailing in our lives that we might be able to be efficient for you in the days ahead. So use this message. I know I'm my lips are feeble and they're my life is not what it ought to be, but we pray, Lord, that you'll be able to use this humble vessel here, and I want to be able to confess any sin that might so easily beset me and help me to be able to bring forth a message that might be able to be uplifting and provoking and powerful in your eyes, Lord, and in the eyes of your people. They might need this message here for the future as well as maybe even for today. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray and bless you. Read into your word. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and look at Proverbs. Let's see, is that where I want my text to be? No, it's Ecclesiastes, excuse me. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, at verse 9, I think it is. 7 and verse 9. And then I want to go into another one here just briefly here in same book. I had that marked there. Here it is. 7:9. You know, I'm in Ezekiel. That sure won't cut it. Will it? Okay. Here we go. All right. Now we're here. Okay. Verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of that thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And I want to focus on these areas here, but let's read just a couple more verses. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not require or inquire wisely concerning this. And we'll read here just a little bit further in just a minute in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, but let's meditate on that just a little bit. For the oppression maketh a wise man mad, and the gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of the thing that is than the beginning thereof. And the patient, and I want to focus a little bit on that. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And many times we get hostile, we get mad. Here today, my spirit rose up in me when I heard this da 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 outside the house. You know what it was? They were beating concrete on Sunday morning, of all things. And I went by there and I felt like opening up my window. Don't you observe the Lord's day? But he was hammering so bad that I couldn't get my word. No, I wouldn't say that anyway. But nevertheless, why don't people get real and at least quit working on Sunday, but they don't. So what my message is entitled here, in essence, to that, anger, good or bad? And can anger be always classified as evil? No. Because if we don't get the capacity to love, we don't have the capacity to be angry. We've got to be angry over sinful things, don't we? And if we don't, we're not worth a plug nickel to the Lord, are we? Because if we don't get angry about the sin of the world, we're not going to be of any value to the Lord in the days ahead. So let's go over here to Ecclesiastes at verse, where did I have that? The 14th chapter there, I believe it was. No, the 14th chapter. Where did my next scripture? I've got it written down here. Well, maybe it wasn't Ecclesiastes. Maybe it's in Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 19th chapter, about discretion is a choice made, and we want to have the right discretion of how to use these anger feelings that we have, because anger is not always evil. And that's Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Nineteenth chapter, at verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know, when you have you ever approached a skunk, and you say, "I want to." As a kid, you might say, "Well, that's a pretty looking animal. He's got a nice stripe down his back, and I might go over and pet that little guy because he looks like a nice kitty." Well, you, as adults, know better, no, of course. But I've heard people, like a dog, for instance, not people, but a dog, going up and wanting to make that skunk mad. Well, what happens when that skunk gets mad? Well, he sprays the dog, doesn't he? And you say to your dog, have you ever had a dog that got sprayed by a skunk? And you know, when you make that skunk mad, he will spray you. But if you don't mess with him, he won't bother you, right? And that's the way it is with anger with people. You know, if you don't mess with people and make them mad, they're going to leave you alone. But sometimes you have to mess with people and express your anger in a suave and a proper godly way. And so we know that we don't want to be sprayed by the hostility of people, but sometimes they get hostile towards us. And you've been there, I've been there, and at work or wherever it might be, people are going to provoke us to wrath. And we've got to deal with the man according to his folly, or woman, lest they become wise in their own conceit. And I know Brother Carl has, you know, everybody here. Brother Dave, Pastor, I know that you've had some issues like that. We all have. But we need to know how to deal with the anger that is developed in others as well as our own. So let's delve into that a little bit. One of the biggest irritations come from people when they call it a road rage, right? You ever had that happen to you? Of course. We all have. But how do we handle it? I remember one time, not long ago, going down Cornhusker, and this guy was tailing my rear end, and that makes me mad. Just tailing me. And when he, so I slowed up. Matter of fact, I hit my brakes just to see what he would do. Wrong thing to do. And he wanted to slam in the back of me, and he went around, and he went like this. Just gritting his teeth, but he didn't pull me over, and I was grateful for that. Wrong thing to do. And you know, people have spoken out of turn, and we must know that speaking out of turn is not going to develop the right spirit. Just like here not too long ago, a man called me a fool, and later on he apologized for calling me a fool. But you know what? Maybe that's what I needed, to tell me that I was a fool for wanting to do this in my condition, my physical condition. But you know, the Lord doesn't make idiots, does he? And I accepted his apology. I really did. He's a good friend of mine. And we know that it's important to deal with issues and not to open up your mouth and stick your foot in it, right? And so we all are guilty of that. So how about ourselves? Do we act in the right way? Are we obedient to the Lord by keeping our zip shut? In other words, zipping our mouth shut. Remotely, anger can lead up to murder, can it not? And I've said this before, but I just can't help but say it. And if I have and you heard me say it, then we'll go on. But just briefly, there was a guy that had an acquaintance of his, and this man had gotten a divorce. Like I said, I'm not going to belabor this, but made the guy mad because he was dating his ex-wife. And he carried him off. He said, well, you can come on out in the woods, out in my property, and you can go deer hunting. And you don't even have to wear orange. Like I said, I think I've said this before, but it bears repeating here. To this point, that man had distinctly and meditated on getting him out on his property so he could kill him just because of his ex-wife. You know something? No human being is worth spending life in the prison forever. And nowadays you can get by with seemingly next to murder. I was reading the Martyrs magazine. Anybody ever read the Martyrs magazine? It's quite a magazine. It tells about the persecution that takes place in North Korea. Tremendous involvement with these Christians over there that endure the hardness of Jesus Christ. And it's important to know that these men and women that go through these hardships, and this one woman, as I recall, she had a husband, and this husband was a non-believer. She got saved as a young girl, and freedom of religion in North Korea used to be a whole lot different than it is now. They were able to get the gospel out. But today, they are killed, and there's only one next worst thing happening, and carrying and finding out a Bible in their possession is having a murder case on you, on your head. And this woman had a husband that was an unsaved person, and they found some kind of indictment against her, made some kind of indictment against her, and they said to the lady, you're going to have to divorce your husband. And so the husband, being a non-believer, followed the regime of this Kim, I don't think it's Jong-un, but it's Sung, I believe it is, back in those years. And so this man decided that he wanted to go ahead and follow the government's orchestration of getting rid of his wife. And so they had two kids, a three-month-old and a three-year-old. And he took those two kids, I think they're boys, and left that woman she never saw before again, never again in her life. And she backslid to the point that she didn't even know how to even make contact with the Lord, until the Lord one day, several years later, took one verse and pricked her heart with it, And she got back in with the Lord and began to see the very important need of rejecting all the government's regulations and rules. There was another one that was a guard, and he was a guard for many years. And one of the things that they told him, do not accept any contraband coming across the border from South Korea or from China, or you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And the way they made him suffer, now he wasn't even a believer at the time, made him get down on bended knees and on his knees and kneel down forward for, I think it was several days. And he said, I'd rather been beat than to be in that position. I can empathize with that man. I really can. I have to keep moving around. And if I don't, I get all stiff and stoved up to the point I can't move. But anyway, nevertheless, this guy, which was a custom agent, had, in the days ahead, somewhere or another, I'm trying to recall this account, but it left such an impact on me that this man could have got angry and lashed out at the government. It wouldn't do him any good because he would have been killed. And if he would have accepted a Bible coming across the border, he would have been executed. Boy, do we ever live in a padded world today, don't we?
Right.
And you sometimes have to read such as that to let indignation swell up in your heart and say, Lord, I don't like my service for you. I want to get myself real and get busy. And we all need to get busy, don't we? We all need to know that the Lord will put righteous indignation thinking about those communists over there that are doing their dead level best. You know what? It's happening right here,
right,
and it's happening fast. And we need to stand up and be counted. And who knows what the Lord's going to bring. But all the trials and testings that come upon our lives we must know the Lord is using them for a certain reason. There was a man that was out hunting on the Canadian and the Montana borderline, and these two guys were hunting grizzly bears. You ever thought about going to hunt a grizzly bear? I haven't. And this man shot this grizzly bear at a certain point, wounding it, and the other one that was with him had tracked that bear down. And this bear had become so furious out of being wounded that he attacked that man with one blow and killed him. What I'm saying is that sometimes we become wounded and we become irritated. We become mad to the point that we want to strike back at people, don't we? How is your dealing with people? Do you want to strike back? It's so easy to want to strike back, isn't it? And we know that we cannot justify this kind of anger. Let's turn to Proverbs 16:23. I believe I got it marked off here. Okay, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. We must speak in the right tone and we must speak at the right time. And if we don't, as the scripture says, fit words is like apple of gold and pictures of silver, isn't it? When we speak the right words, the Lord will use that. But if it's out of turn, he will not use it properly. And we cannot feel like we're getting anything accomplished. It's like soul winning. If you don't use the right words, and if you don't speak to them right, loving, kind way, and just like my ex-brother-in-law just went through some pictures of my mother, which she's gone on to be with the Lord, went over there to Aurora at my brother's, because my brother Pat was from Arkansas, come up this way, and my brother Pat, or Larry, said, let's go ahead and go through these pictures. Well, we began to throw a lot of them away because they were cats and scenery pictures and all that. So we had to throw some of those away. But the Lord allowed me to look at some of these pictures here, and I saw one of the pictures of my ex-brother-in-law. And I've said this before in church, I know, but it bears repeating, that my brother-in-law had married my sister, my youngest sister, was five of us in the family. And this took place when I went over to talk to both of them in Aurora there in their house, and I meant well, they really did. I wanted to get the word of God across. And when I spoke to him, he got so furious, he got on his pickup and burned the tires down that cobblestone street of Aurora. If you ever travel in Aurora, you know there's nothing, usually bricks in there, and burnt the tires down the road. He didn't want to hear it. And then I got another opportunity to talk to him before this catastrophe took place. And like I said, I know that I've said this before, but I'm saying this because of his anger. And I talked to him again, and he got so furious. He had fire in his eyes. Why? Not because of what I had to say, but because the Lord had something to say to him. And he got so furious that he left. I think that was in his house there in Henderson, this way. And then not long after that, I was in Bible college, and he ended up having a fight with my sister, and in short, I'll just say this, that she got shot in the head. He was angry. He got so angry at my sister because of this guy pulling him over onto her lap that they went home and they had a fight, and the gun went off. Whether she pulled the trigger, whether she actually had it in her hand, like he said, we don't know. But the thing about it is, the anger of that man caused the whole episode of my sister die at the age of 25. Like I said, I've said this to some of you, but some of you I haven't. Anger will cause death at times.
Right.
And just think about Brother Dave going through his trial there, and I know he's not supposed to talk about anything, and he doesn't want to hear probably much about it. But my son was in the same place. Same place. And we know that anger of that situation causes death. So we know that we must handle this right. Look at verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that ruleth his spirit. Do we always rule our spirit? Absolutely not. Not one of us can rule our spirit to the T, can we?
Right.
And that's why we need to put a hanger on it and say, Lord, I know that this is not right, but boy, it's easier said than done, especially when something goes wrong. Have you ever heard of somebody getting angry at their dog and wailing the daylights out of it, kicking across the room? You know, such bizarre things like that. My brother-in-law would take a saw and put it in the ditch and shoot it with a shotgun. He was so angry at it. And take a 2x4 to that horse's head and wrap it upside his head and knock that horse out. Is that the kind of angry that a Christian should portray? Absolutely not. It will destroy our testimony. So a man has discretion, will make right choices, and defer his anger, just like it says here. He that is slow to anger is bitter than the mighty. I've had to go over many verses like that to keep myself under control. And I used to fight in the Golden Gloves, and a guy named Craig Dick, I've said this before, but Craig Dick come along afterwards and won a street fight me out on the streets of Aurora. Because, not that he was angry necessarily, but because he wanted to see how tough I was. And guess who come to visit me in the hospital? That very, very same guy. Got saved, believe it or not. Gloriously got saved. He blew up my car down in Kansas because I let him take it down there, and he power braked it and blew it up. And you know what? I didn't get angry. This day I didn't get angry. Back in then, those days, I got angry. It was my only car, and he blew it up. What was I to do about it? Well, there wasn't much I could do about it. Let's look at another one here. You know, it's what God's word that does the penetrating, right? The Proverbs 15:1. Soft word turneth away wrath, and grievous word stirreth up anger. Grievous word stir up anger. And I've said this about family relationships, and that's where it becomes right down to the brass tacks. You don't want people in your family to be mad at you, do you? Of course not. And that's why that we need to handle people with kid gloves, as the Bible says. And when we say that we're beyond this, we're deceiving ourselves. And I handled this rightly when this individual in the family wanted to rebuke me for not wanting to have part in the settlement that we had in my mother's death. And today, it's all under the blood of Christ. He's a Christian, I'm a Christian. He was a Christian back then when we had that problem. But you know, we as Christians are still in the flesh, aren't we? We can still rise up. But yet, when we become angry, I think of my, I'll just say a relation in the days past, used to be a dental assistant, like Shelley is, somewhat, I guess. And this boss of hers had pornographic magazines in that office. You know, people today wouldn't call it that, but they are. And she got mad, and she says, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to get out of this office, and I'm going to go look for something else. And so can anger become justified? Sure it can. We can get out of a predicament, and I've had many jobs. Just like I was telling Brother Kyle, I said somewhat about him to Brother Dan, that is, about how that we ourselves can be pushed to the direction that the Lord would want us to be when we get angry. And when we get angry, we should shirk off that type of anger that's built up if it's wrong, but it can be right. How about the politicians? Do we get angry at them? Of course we do. Is there anything we can do about it? Not really. But we can sure get angry by praying, Lord, why did you put this man in the political arena here? Why did this woman have to be running for president? You know, what have you? Well, the Lord's all under control, as we all know that. Amen. So a man with great understanding demonstrates control who is slow to anger. And if we're not slow to anger, we will get in the flesh and we will be robbed of a blessing to be, we can be caught up or we can be a blessing to others in regards to our emotions. I was almost ready to give a message today on emotions, but I thought, no, last time I gave a message on emotions. So the world has a wrong concept of hate, don't they? They say, oh, you're just nothing but a hate monger, and you shouldn't be saying this, and you shouldn't be hanging on to this kind of political arena or thought or whatever it might be, words. But you know, if we don't stand up for what's right, just like the old cliche is, if you don't have the capacity to love, you don't have the capacity to hate. We've got to have the capacity to hate in the wrong, right direction. So it develops health problems. It brings on even emotions. Just like I said here the other day. I think I said this the other day. But just like that man down in Oklahoma City, or I mean Oklahoma someplace, had been fired by this woman. There was a woman over him. And he said, how dare that woman fire me? So he waited till she got out in the parking lot and cut her head off. Remember that? He cut her head off. Well, I don't know for sure whether he was a Muslim or not, but you don't have to be a Muslim to cut somebody's head off, do you? Right. Is that the right kind of anger? Absolutely not. We all know that it's the wrong kind of anger. So it's the wrong emotion. We can let it get the best of us. We watched a film here, and some of you probably wouldn't go for it, but it was a Christian film orientated. It showed the ins and the outs of emotions that this young gal had. And it had to do about the Columbine issue over there in Colorado in 1999. And this woman was a Christian, but yet she began to backslide. She was in this high school, she began to backslide. And she went into this school and went to these parties, these drinking parties, and she told her mother, well, I'm trying to be the right influence on my classmates, Mom. And the mother said, no, whatever her name was, they're influencing you in the wrong direction. And that is for sure. And it all come down to the final conclusion that the men that were in that class were rejected by these athletic jocks, as we'll call them that, in that film. And how that they ended up mocking these two other guys, and these two other guys felt like that they weren't accepted, and they were rejected, matter of fact, to the point that they come to the point that they were watching these videos about shooting different individuals. That's how the mind will play tricks on people. And I'll just say this, that at the end of the show, that they went through a dramatization of it, and now that this woman was sitting there, and she was trying to influence this man that was forlorn because his parents went through a divorce. And these guys come up and shot her in the head and shot this other guy with a shotgun. And then went in, and of course you know the rest of the story, went in the rest of the building and mowed, what was it, 19 people that got killed, or 12 maybe? Tremendous thing. What did it all start off with? Emotions. They were disturbed because of the emotions that no one accepted them, and the school at least appeared that way, and so they wanted to strike back. And by watching these videos, it had to have been demonology. Had to have been. So good anger and bad anger, which is it do we have today? But love can or is bad when it is directed towards the world system. Right. And we can be directed in the world system and be struck down. So hate is good when it is evil of the world. And hate is bad when people despise other people. Oh, it's so easy, is it not? Oh, how dare there that woman end up getting on my case about this and finding fault with this or that man, whatever it might be. We want to strike back, don't we? Just like myself, hitting my brakes behind that guy and shaking his fist at me. I don't blame him. I would have done the same thing if somebody would have slammed on their brakes in front of me. So we know that we must handle it. Why? So let's go over some points here before too much longer here. So good anger and bad anger. Two people can act in different ways to circumstances. And you know what I'm talking about. We know different people will handle things differently than a Christian. So one remains calm and in control, and the other is outraged and fit. Has anybody ever seen that film called courageous? Nobody? It's quite a film. It's orchestrated and brought on, I think, by the Southern Baptists, I'm not quite sure. But it had to do about a guy, his name was Javier. And Javier was rejected by a job that he was supposedly going in for a, no, he was actually hired there, I believe it was, went into the to these supervisors, and the supervisors said, now, Javier, we want you to do this and that and the other. And I won't go into detail on that, but it was unorthodox. It was not ethical for him to deal with this type of thing, but it was cheating out the individuals. It was selling the products to that company. And Javier had a forlorn look in his face. He said to himself, well, he went home that night and he told his wife about it. And he says, if I don't say that I'm going to cooperate with them, my job is down. And he fought and fought with that in prayer. Went back to the next day and told the supervisor, he said, no, sir, he said, I cannot do it. And the boss says, you mean to tell me you're going to put your job on the line by rejecting my request and my obedience to you to do this job? And he said, yes, sir, I've got to, by a conscience towards God. And that supervisor stuck his hand out and said, you're hired. Or you're, I think maybe he was even actually going in for the job, it seems like. He said, you're hired. You're the man that we want. We want some just men working for this company. And you are the man we're looking for. Boy, that was a test to his faith, wasn't it? You ought to see the film, Courageous. It's a tremendous film. And then I might say this quick, like, he was into the patrol car and they arrested this man, which was a member of a certain gang, and he sat there in the back seat with his Javier. And the Javier, they were supposed to have put on a big front on this, and it was a big joke, really. But when it come down to this Javier saying, I'm a member of the snake gang, and you need to do this, and they said what they have done to different individuals, and this guy got so nervous he wanted to bust out of that car because he was nervous about the snake gang. And I won't go into it any further, but what I'm saying is people can say the right words at the right time and get people up, stirred in their heart and their anger that they want to bust out of the circumstance and get out of the way of this individual. But we know that anger can be controlled in the right direction. So I'm not advocating the movie, don't get me wrong. But it's something that brings across some good moral standards in that movie. So usually anger is based on feelings of failure, unrealistic behavior, and motives that are lacking in solving skills. For instance, like learning behavioral acts in the family. I'm guilty of it. Boy, am I guilty of it. Probably all of us are. When we lose our anger and say, this is the way it's got to be, and if you don't do it my way, it's the highway. No, we don't say the highway, but you're going to get a stick upside your backside. Well, I've grown to handle my anger a little bit better by a long shot. And I don't lash out like I used to. And we know that, just like the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to deal with my problems. I'm paraphrasing all this. I've learned. And if an aged man gets older, he has wisdom, doesn't he? A young man is his strength. And I thought, my strength will overpower what I know. And therefore, I lost my temper several times. And I hate some of my sins, don't you? Do you hate some of your sins, the way that you handle things? Amen. Well, we need to grow in grace and knowledge and know how to use wise words. The soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words will stir up anger. Oftentimes, unbridled anger is reacted because for instance, people don't believe like we do, and we want to strike out in inner turmoil, because the turmoil is built up here, and pretty soon it keeps building and building and building. Been around a person that you could tell that they're mad, but they just don't say anything. and they don't say anything, and they don't say anything. What is the matter with this person? Pretty soon they blow up, don't they? They blow up, and they have a raging fit, and you say, what did I do? Is there something I did? Tell me about it. And this person goes off and pouts. Whoever it might be, we had a little dealing about this weekend, a little bit. Wasn't amount to much. I said, well, we've got to learn to deal with people according to their folly, lest they become wise in their own conceit. We've got to deal with them and show them the maturity. Let your maturity made known unto all men. And if we let our maturity known, they will listen to what you have to say. Let's look at Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, as we look at verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. In other words, don't run around with him, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Amen. I used to run around with some real bad guys. And because I did, I followed them in their folly. Yep. And I got myself into a lot of trouble. I remember one time I have to come back from Vietnam, and I'm kind of like the old saying has it, I've had my trials and testings, now I want to get into some good times. And I thought, well, I'm going to go with this crowd. So I remember going up to Central City, and we saw these glittering-looking things laying out on the fields. You know what they were? Watermelons. And I like watermelons, so guess what we did? We threw the watermelons in my trunk of my 396 Supersport going down the road with my headlights up towards the moon. And when we got into Aurora, we began to take the watermelons out and share them. Well, was that the right thing to do? Absolutely not. I got into the wrong crowd. And that farmer, I'm sure, woke up the next morning and no glittering watermelons out there in the field. So running with the wrong crowd is the wrong way to go. And that's exactly what problem with penitentiaries today. They're hanging with the wrong crowd. Let's look at, that was the one I want to look at here. Verse 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. I can remember a lot of times that I got in with the wrong crowd. Matter of fact, this guy that was with us at our little gathering out in the backyard, and Brother Dan, well, all three of you guys here, and Tina wasn't there, but Claudia was, and the kids. This guy that wore a hat and was a painter named Doug Scott. He's the man that I used to run around with when he was a teenager and I got out of Vietnam. I thought I was a bad testimony to him, that he would never get saved because I ran around with him. And I got off the mission field and began to talk to him out of the Alcoholic Anonymous, and he used to drink and drink and drink. And I thought, there's no way this man's going to get saved because of my testimony in the past. Well, the Word of God does not go away void, does it?
Amen.
But accomplishes that what he sent it out to do. Even 12 years ago, when my late wife died, I had need of companionship, but it was the wrong companionship. It really was. And I couldn't stay around him any longer. And lo and behold, in that 11 years, the man got saved. Gloriously got saved. Now he has a little bit of trouble with his lingo, but we know that the Lord can straighten that out. And so we never underestimate even our bad testimony. And I got mad a few times at him, and he got mad at me a few times, but that's all under the blood. And even today he said, I'd like to make it right with you, Mike. I'd like to give you the money that it took for you to transport me around with your 396, which had only got 11 miles per gallon because of the 411 gears in the rear end. I said, Doug, that's all under the blood. Don't worry about those money dollars that I spent running us around. Besides, I was having fun, I thought. Do we have fun when we lead a bad testimony? No, not at all. So you can choose to be angry, whatever reason you say it's to be the right type of anger. If it's in a worldly sense and anger towards other people, it's not the right way. So just like the pastor said all the time, you can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequences, right?
Right.
We know the consequences can be either good or it can be evil. So anger is rooted up in selfishness, is it? That's what it amounts to. We want to do things our way, and if they don't go our way, we want to strike back and get angry and indifferent towards those that even sometimes we love. And we know it's not the thing to do. We've got to deal with a man according to his folly, lest you become wise in your own conceit. And sometimes we have to deal with our own folly so we don't become wise in our own conceit.
That's right.
And so do we lose control because of the powerlessness that we think we need to have? It makes us angry when we don't have the power to overcome situations, circumstances, or even people. So it's deep-rooted. Selfishness is deep-rooted. So we want control over the circumstances, even our destiny and other people. Let's look at Romans, my last scripture here, 12 at verse 10. Be kind, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Boy, that's a hard one to live down to, isn't it? We have to prefer other people before we do our own feelings. And if we don't, we get in trouble. Let love, back up to verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And the Lord gives you the directions by the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart, saying, is this a kind word or is this a wrong word? Is this honorable or is this dishonorable as I speak out? So selfishness is a continual battle, is it not?
Right.
Continual battle. A wounded grizzly bear, by the way, you don't want to mess with. And sometimes you feel like people out there are grizzly bears, don't you? And you got to learn how to deal with them and say, Lord, they're in ignorance. They don't know what they've said. They don't know what they're doing. Just like the Lord says, forgive them, Lord. Or forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do.
Right.
And that's exactly what we need to have in our mind. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And everyone is of like passion. Not one of us are any different. We need to be dealing with people in a kind way. When our pride is wounded, we want to strike back and get sometimes even blood. To that point, it's pride that says, okay, if you're going to be that way to me, I'm going to be that way to you, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. Is that the way to do it? Absolutely not. We want to make sure the Lord is in control and not our fleshly desires. And we want to know that the Lord can turn the kind or that wrath into kind words if we're leading in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.
Amen.
Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to be able to have the opportunity to be able to put you first in our lives. We know that we are like passion, just as Paul and just like many, many, many others were. And we need to deal with our passions, with our anger, with our disgruntlements and despair and despondencies, because deep down inside it all develops in the name of pride. So help us to deal with these things rightly. Help us to know, Lord, that there's going to be something come into our lives that's going to cause anger. But yet, anger can be the right direction. We can become angry and sin not. And we know it's important to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. And if someone has had that type of dealing lately, whether it be in the family or out of the family, whether it be associates or non-associates, we can have the right understanding of anger and how to treat it rightly. And we ask all this to be for your name's sake and pray, Lord, that you'll help Rhonda as she's there in the hospital in Kansas City, that you would help her as she's dealing with this. And we just, our heart goes out to her, and we just pray, Lord, that you will take care of the doctor's minds and their abilities to deal with this ailment that she has. And I pray, Lord, whatever it takes for her to get back on her feet, and she will recover. I pray that she'll be with the pastor's heart and his going down there this Monday, that you would direct his paths and help him to be a comfort to her, which I know he will. And I pray, Lord, again, that you'll be with the doctors and the nurses, all those that are in authority, to be able to deal with the right method, the right medicine, everything that will bring Rhonda back to us safely and in the right physical way. And we thank you for what you're going to do and through all this. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.